For coming. I know it's the end of the conference. This is Home Health CAHPS as a driver of quality improvement. By a show of hands, who here is familiar with the CAHPS tool in any setting? Okay, great. It's a mix. This is supposed to be full screen. There we go. All right. I have no financial relationships to disclose other than BNSNY pays my salary. The CAHPS tool is something that's been implemented in many settings, first with hospitals. It is the home health consumer assessment of healthcare providers and systems. So the hospital one is hospital consumer assessment, et cetera. This is a patient satisfaction survey that's standardized across the United States for all certified home healthcare agencies. And this is required by CMS. And hospitals have had the most experience with this. That was implemented from 2006 to 2008. It's also being implemented for community physician providers and for Medicare Advantage programs. The purpose of the CAHPS is to create new incentives for quality care. It is also increasing industry transparency because of the Home Health Compare website, which is available to the public. And in the future, it will be used as a pay-for-performance measure so that agencies that don't do well are not going to be paid as much as agencies that do well. And really what's behind this is just the emphasis on patient-centered care. Are healthcare organizations meeting patient expectations? And this is really a change of attitude for the healthcare industry, and a very positive one, if I can say that. In general, the public just wants better information about their providers. They want to be able to be educated consumers. And the Home Health Compare website is great for that at the moment, but I think that some of the measures that are on there are clinical and a certain amount of education or knowledge is required to really appreciate those differences. And I think what's wonderful about patient satisfaction is everyone can understand that and everyone thinks, okay, I would like to go someplace that other people are recommending and had a positive experience. I just wanted to let you know, I do have copies of the survey for distribution if any of you are interested at the end. And it's longer than this will show, but what's actually publicly reported are two individual questions and then three composite domains. The individual questions, one is overall satisfaction, so basically on a scale of 0 to 10, with 0 being the worst home care and 10 is the best, please rate our agency. And if the agency is rated a 9 or a 10, that gets counted towards your score that's displayed on the Home Health Compare website. And secondly, would you recommend this agency to your family or friends if they needed home health care? And if patients respond definitely yes, then that's reported publicly. So for the domains, I'm not going to read through these word for word, but the first domain is care of patients, which is four questions. And those questions are, did providers seem informed and up to date about the care you're getting at home? Did they treat you as gently as possible? Did they treat you with courtesy and respect? And did you have any problems in general with your care? The second domain is communications between providers and patients. So when you first started getting care, did someone tell you what to expect? How often did providers let you know when they'd arrive at your home? Did they talk in a way that was easy to understand? Did they listen carefully to you? And when you tried to contact the agency's office, did you get the help you needed? And how long did that take? Lastly, the specific care issues is seven questions. So when you first started getting home care, did someone look at your home to see if it was set up safely? Did they talk to you about pain? And then there's several questions about medications. So that's what's going to be publicly reported. But before we go further, I wanted to just explain a little bit about the CMS-required methodology that the Home Health CAHPS functions under. It's a little complicated, and it's a bit of a challenge for quality improvement measures and efforts because there's a really long delay. But it is a great methodology because using this, we are getting a third response, like a 33% response rate. So it really does work, and I think the hospitals have helped validate this. So if I'm a patient and I'm cared for in October, a list of all the patients cared for in October is going to be sent to this outside vendor. We're all required to have outside vendors in November. And by the third week of November, any patients who are sampled from October should be getting a survey. And I believe it's within 20 days if that if the vendor has not received that survey back from the patient, a second survey is sent to them. And the surveys start coming back in, and our vendor is great. They have a website, and just as things come in, they put them up on the website. So if you check it weekly, it does vary from week to week. But it really won't be until January because of the end sizes that your results are going to be meaningful. And it won't be until February that your results finalize and you really know how you did for that month. So, you know, that is a challenge for clinical leaders who are trying to be more responsive in a shorter time frame. Lastly, I just wanted to make the point that for the data that's put on Home Health Compare, these surveys, there is a maximum of 400 surveys annually for every agency sent to CMS. So, and these are randomly selected in advance. Now, my agency, as you'll find out, is extremely large, and so this guarantees a level playing field between the very small and the very large agencies. And actually, CMS will discard up to 100 surveys. The final public results are based on 300 surveys annually. It's not that many, but the methodology is strong enough that, you know, it does seem to be a very accurate representation of the whole. And just as an FYI, only patients with a Medicare or Medicaid payer of any kind are reported to CMS. So now I just wanted to tell you a little bit about my employer, which is Visiting Nurse Service of New York. We are the largest nonprofit home health agency in the country, and we're one of the oldest. Our daily patient census is 30,000. This covers our certified agency as well as our Medicare Advantage and Managed Long-Term Care program. We have 14,000 employees, 4,000 those are professional clinical staff, 8,500 are paraprofessionals like home health aides, 2,500 non-clinical staff, and there's a total of 85 interdisciplinary care teams. So anything we do is complex. Anytime we try and change anything, it takes a lot of work. And I really hope that our experience is helpful to eliminate some of the challenges and opportunities that are presenting themselves to home health agencies across the country. We were very fortunate to be able to implement the CAHPS tool 9 months before CMS required it, which really offered us adequate time for staff education and to try and understand our preliminary results. And this introductory period also sort of got the conversation going about patient-centered care in our agency and beginning to acknowledge this shared relationship across disciplines for how patients are satisfied, how satisfied are they, because our disciplines tend to be a little siloed, unfortunately, you know, physical therapy versus nursing versus home health aides. And because of all this lead time, we have been able to develop multi-pronged quality improvement plans to address satisfaction, and this is focused on improving our communication skills and enhancing continuity of care. So I just want to, most of you are probably familiar with New York, but you know, here we are. We're a very small area downstate, and then actually though, when you factor in the traffic and everything, so these are the five boroughs of New York City, and then we have two suburban counties, Westchester and Nassau. So we really do cover a really wide range of patients in a fairly large area. We have 7 regional offices. So we collect 5,000 surveys per year. This does not obviously represent all of our patients. Our vendor is NRC Picker, but we send our surveys to patients of all of our certified home health programs, regardless of payer and regardless of age. So we don't exclude the people that CMS might exclude. And we only collect surveys on the region and program level, which means for those care teams, you know, they're not getting data down to that level, and that's because we have so many that we can't, you know, statistically it just doesn't really, it's not valuable on the team level. So this is what our implementation timeline looked like. The beginning is, the top half is, this is when NRC Picker started to send patients our surveys, February 2010 for the January patients. Our first data didn't become available until April on their website. And then just in general, so October of 2010 is when pay for reporting started. So pay for reporting means if you're not doing this survey, CMS is going to basically fine you. And fortunately, we didn't have that issue, but unfortunately, many home care agencies did. The adoption wasn't very good. And then at the bottom is just, these are the sort of three phases for our internal agency. There was the adoption period, the education of clinical leaders and teams, and development of improvement strategies for the following year. So I call January to April getting out of the gate. You know, we had final contract negotiations. We had to tweak our automated data file that gets sent to NRC every month, and they started sending out surveys. April to May, we were really introducing the home health caps. The data started to come in on the website, and a very small group of us in quality improvement started trying to really understand these results and think about them. And then we started to share the survey tool with the staff so that they knew what patients were going to be getting sent to their home. June to August, we really laid the groundwork for improvement efforts in the future. We had a presentation that was given to all care teams over the course of several months. The presentation focused on key assessments and interventions, expected staff behaviors, and just wanting staff to communicate, yes, there might be a survey sent to your home, we really want your feedback, and just in general, let me know when our care is not meeting or exceeding your expectations. We had to educate our clinical managers about how to access and understand the NRC Picker site, and we started to integrate the home health caps information into our clinical orientation for new staff. So at the same time, we had to start addressing staff bias. I should just say here that because our results were not exactly where we wanted them to be, people started saying things like, our patients have dementia, they don't fill out surveys properly, they don't like their home health aide, and so they blame it on us. And then the survey doesn't work for our population, they're too diverse and too sick. And I like to call that the New York exceptionalism attitude, which is very prevalent, unfortunately. Well, the first thing is that VNSNY was one of the pilot agencies for the validation of the home health caps tool in 2007 and 2008. So as soon as staff started to sort of digest that information, they had to admit that it actually is a valid tool for our specific population. And another thing we had to address was clinical managers who were looking for bad apples. You know, they wanted to know, who are these nurses who are giving me suboptimal patient satisfaction results? What can I do about that? And, you know, we said, look, if, you know, we have 5,000 surveys, we have thousands of nurses, there's no way that any of your nurses are giving your poor results, you know, or the results you don't want. This is definitely an initiative where all boats rise. It has to be, you know, from top to bottom, left to right, it's everybody. It's not bad apples. So then in September or December to 2010, we really started planning our quality initiatives. The first thing we had to do was present the data to senior leadership, and that was, you know, a little bit of a nail biter because it wasn't where we wanted it to be. We had to get a deeper understanding of the data. I'm going to talk in a minute about the key drivers of overall satisfaction. And because the data wasn't exactly where we wanted it, we thought, well, let's look at our comments. You know, we thought maybe we're getting a lot of negative feedback there. And actually, it was overwhelmingly positive, which just left us a little more confused. So then we had our quality scorecard. We're very fortunate to have a monthly quality scorecard that everybody, nurses, you know, from the frontline staff up to our directors and vice presidents, really pay a lot of attention to. And so anything that goes on the scorecard gets a lot of attention. We wanted to tie patient satisfaction to other ongoing initiatives, and we wanted to involve leaders outside of quality improvement and clinical program leadership. We wanted to get into our marketing department, our consumer, you know, customer satisfaction, customer care, and that was a good, good connections to make. So the key drivers of overall satisfaction. So these are based on an analysis that NRC Picker does. It's statistical, and they're basically saying for that question where, you know, rate your agency on a scale of 0 to 10, you know, what are the questions that really matter here? Like, if you do well on these questions, that's going to lead to getting a 9 or a 10. So we had to wait for a little while for the data to stabilize because since the key drivers adjust quarterly, they did fluctuate a little at the beginning. And then once they did, it gave us our directions for improvement. Also, because we're so huge, we're really used to like driving the benchmark a lot, and by the first quarter of 2011, we started to make up less than 10% of the NRC benchmark. I believe today it's less than 5%. They have a ton of agencies that they're doing this for, and this is all very good because we, you know, that gives us a much more accurate understanding of where we are. And also, NRC Picker has these wonderful quality improvement plans, very concrete, very specific. You know, we're not inventing the wheel every time we try and think about what can we do to help our staff in this area. So our key drivers were, how often did home health providers listen carefully to you, treat you with courtesy and respect, treat you as gently as possible, and explain things in a way that was easy to understand? And what this boils down is people skills matter the most, and this is also reflected in the hospital results. It's not about your medication use. It's not about was your home set up safely. You know, people really care about how they're treated. So I just wanted to give you a brief snapshot. This is from the Hospital Compare website. These are our two biggest referrers, Mount Sinai Hospital and New York Presbyterian Hospital, world-renowned, very great institutions. So Presbyterian is doing, they're exceeding the national average. Mount Sinai is well below it. They're much closer to the average for all of New York State. So I just wanted to make a point with this slide to say that I think New York State is in a difficult healthcare environment. I don't think we do as good a job in general across the board as we could for patient care and patient satisfaction, even though we might have great clinical outcomes. And so I think VNS is part of our environment. We're trying hard to be better. So I just, please ignore these two middle columns. This is the only data here that's final. This is what's being reported to CMS that you will be able to see on Home Health Compare in 2012. So as you can see, the NRC average, which we believe is probably an accurate reflection of what CMS's benchmark will be, is we're not there. You know, we had a hard time with this. And it just shows you we really have areas where we need to improve. Even if we know that the road is going to be long, you know, we want to get there. So we had our work cut out for us. And the data might change with CMS adjustments, but, you know, for the most part, I think this is what we're going to see. So the 2011 quality scorecard. As I said, this really raises awareness because people from the front line all the way up look at this every month. And we put three items from the CAP survey on there: overall satisfaction, would you recommend, and providers listen carefully, because that's one of our key drivers. Throughout 2011, we were working on continuity of care and customer care trainings, and then now, right now, we're really developing our improvement strategies for 2012. So the clinical staff customer care trainings, so this was for clinical and business staff, they've been four-part workshops. They've been spread over 3 to 6 months for each region and program. So what's wonderful about this is it really reinforces the message over time. And as you'll see on my next slide, I think the message is really getting through and we're seeing some progress. And below, you'll see understanding drivers of continuity of care. We have a statistical measure that was developed by our in-house Center for Research. And they've, you know, there's already been correlation by ourselves and others about continuity promotes clinical, you know, better clinical outcomes, and we've done preliminary analysis that says that there's correlation between patient satisfaction and continuity, which on a gut check level makes a lot of sense. And continuity of care is just a long-term quality improvement project. There's not a magic bullet, and we're working on it. So acute is our biggest program. Acute care accounts for 2,800 of our 5,000 annual surveys. And as you can see, as of the third quarter, we are making progress. Now, is it amazing? It's not amazing. But I do believe that with the delays in data collection and with the results, the efforts that we put on the patient satisfaction quality scorecard, as well as these customer care trainings, that we're really seeing some results. So this is actually very gratifying, even if you might not think it's extremely impressive. it feels very good to us. And this I'm just going to skip over because I'm probably running out of time. This just shows you sort of where we've been as of 2 weeks ago for our acute program. These are patients who rated us a 9 or a 10. If we can move these patients who are giving us 7 or 8s into 9s and 10s, we'd actually, if we did that just with even half of them, we would be exceeding the NRC average. And these are our planned 2012 improvement tactics. We have to continue to work on continuity of care. We're going to develop some e-learnings for staff on patient satisfaction. It really needs to be institutionalized, like fire safety and code of conduct. This is like a culture change for everybody. It's not just like a one-off, let's try and improve this. We'd like to have an internal marketing campaign because I think that's also promotes a culture change. And a wonderful thing is that our HR department is working on an initiative called Workforce of the Future, and they're trying to really link together our employee satisfaction with our patient satisfaction and just plan for new directions. And last but definitely not least, after 22 years, we'll be getting a new CEO in 2012. That person has not been announced yet, but I'm sure he or she will have, ideas of where we should go, and I hope that they're very invested in patient satisfaction. And just to conclude, I wanted to say I think home care has been very, very much has benefited from the hospital experience. I think our vendors have a lot more knowledge than they would have several years ago. And we just know kind of the road ahead of us, that this is not going to change overnight, so it helps us manage our expectations. I do think home care has some specific challenges. We have a not controlled environment, we're in each patient's home. It's not easy to observe and provide feedback to widely dispersed clinicians. As all of you know, we are in a difficult economic climate because home care is not yet in pay for performance. This doesn't really have a money factor yet, and so I think other priorities are maybe coming first. We really need to continue to enhance this cross-disciplinary provider relationship, because the survey only uses provider. If you look at the survey, you'll see most of the questions that add that have a specific discipline mentioned are ones that we specifically added to the survey. They're not CMS questions. And also building this with our home health aid vendors is really a challenge, but an important one. And last but not least, to go back to the New York exceptionalism, we do have a very highly diverse patient population, and even though CMS has translated the survey into several languages, it is a challenge that we hope to meet, to always meet our patients' cultural expectations and to communicate with them in a way that's comfortable for where they're coming from. And we hope that CMS translates into even more languages so that we get as many back as we can. So that's it. Thank you very much for your time.